Recording, and good morning again. My name's Helen Wilkinson, and I've been ordained now for over 15 years. And last summer, I left a parish in northwest London to retire to Malvern. And I do want to thank everybody. I keep on saying to everybody when I see them, thank you so much for your great welcome. It's just lovely to be here, and it's just felt very seamless, that transition from what I was doing 9 months ago to today. So as we meet together, shall we pray? Actually, I think it's just, you need a chair and a, oh, that's great. We've got a button. Brilliant. Okay, let's pray together first of all, shall we? See amazing things out of your word, both your written word and your living word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In addition to doing parish work in a local church, I was also involved in what we call vocations work. And I was helping in the discernment process for people who were coming forward thinking about whether or not they should be ordained in the Church of England. And in London Diocese, that's called, the title I had was being an ADO. And in Worcester Diocese, I think that's called a DDO. So it's a Diocesan Director of Ordinance here. And I was an Area Director of Ordinance. And as part of this process, people would come and chat, and they'd have to do lots of reading, they'd have to do some writing and some thinking about, just beginning to think more deeply about theology. They had to do some church visits, that range of things. And the bishop in the area of London where I was used to ask that candidates should write a page, a side of A4, on what is the big picture of the Bible? What's the Bible all about? What's its storyline? And the people who wrote this piece came up with all sorts of different things. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating, because from that it gave you really good basis for discussion about, you know, what's the Bible all about? Where does Christian theology come from? The pieces that people wrote were very different. It's very, very interesting, I found. And for some people, the Bible was all about the love of God, about how he sent his son Jesus to be the saviour of the world. Others had a more technical approach. The Bible is really more like a library, a collection of in issues about authorship, original source material, and what should and shouldn't be in the Bible in the first place, what we call the canon of Scripture. Because the Bible is vast. It contains poetry and song. It combines historical narrative with biographical detail. It draws intimate portraits of life lived in the extremes of human emotion. It includes long genealogies, devastating wars, and the life history, death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And all of this begs the question, where is God in all of this? What is he doing? And what the Bible does is to open us up to the story of God that he set within time, the time frame that you and I both know and live, the one that he created, time that is linear, countable and dated, set within the history of time. The Bible is God's story written for us. Above all else, this book is about God. He is central. This is the book of God. It's all about him. But it's not just about him, because it goes further. Because the Bible is given to us in written form from a God who is speaking. He speaks. He wants to communicate with the human race in this story that's been written. And so he's given us his written word, and it's designed for us to hear from him. And as he speaks, we listen. So above all else, this book is about God and about how God wants to engage with us. What we have in the Bible is a big picture of God's historical narrative. From Genesis to Revelation, we're travelling somewhere. History is travelling somewhere. It has a beginning and an end. And God himself is central to this overarching account. Sometimes it's called the meta-narrative, this biblical account. As God's written word, it's a narrative. God's meta-narrative coming from the heart of God himself. And the good news is that because of Jesus, we will find that within this big picture, there is a place for you and for me, for each one of us, as God is seeking to engage with the people that he's made. Now we're going to come back to that shortly. But first we're going to look at the big picture more generally. Now, this is where you're going to need a bit of paper and something to write or draw with. And we've been given some very nice purple paper. So if we can just take a piece and pass it on. And if you can find something to write or draw with, you might need... I have got some spare pens here, or I've got some pencils. Because what I'm going to ask you to do on your piece of paper is to draw a timeline. And we're going to think about the major events going through history from creation to perfection at the end, when time as we know it is wrapped up and a new era begins. So if you haven't got the right equipment, then just let me know and we'll get sorted out with what everybody needs. So what I suggest you do, probably the best thing to do is to have your piece of paper as landscape, probably, because I always find with these things, I start thinking, oh, I'll just stick a few things here, and then I find I haven't got any space to put anything between one and the next. So when I did this for myself, I started off with creation at one end, so we're in the book of Genesis, and then at the other end, we're in the book of Revelation, when all things are perfected. And in terms of time, the life of Jesus comes quite a way along, actually. So I'm going to put Jesus here. That's just to give you a bit of time to be able to fit in all the other things that are going on here. Now, don't worry about dates. Dates are a bit iffy anyway, and it just gets too complicated. It's not worth bothering. But as you look at that, now don't worry if you don't feel that you know your Bible very well. It doesn't really matter whether you know it really well or not. Looking at your timeline, I'd like you just to put some big events on there in terms of what is God doing in interacting with people. This is a story of God and his interaction with humanity. Put down there some things that have just occurred to you. They might be things that you were taught at church when you were young. They might be ideas. You could get your ideas, I don't know, from wherever, but just think about key events in the Bible timeline that we get in the Bible from all sorts of different parts of the Bible, and try and put in a few things. I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that. It might be the name of somebody, it might be an event. Some key ways of God interacting with his creation. It might be something that you wish to go away and think a little bit about more later, actually, after we've had our session today. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes now. It doesn't matter if you haven't even finished, because there's probably more things that you might like to add and think about. Have a chat with your neighbour, please, just in twos or threes. Just have a chat with your neighbour about what you've put and compare notes. This isn't about who knows the most about the Bible. It isn't a quiz on Bible knowledge with points. This is just to think a bit about, have you got things in common there? Or has your neighbour thought of something different from you? Compare notes as to what you've got.
Yeah.
Okay, I hate to butt in because there's just absolutely loads of good discussion going on. And I wondered if one or two of you might be prepared to share what the sort of things that you're engaging with everybody, so I could put one or two ideas on the board. There won't be time to put everything on there, unfortunately. Anybody want to give, was there something that you had in common with your neighbour that you thought was important, ways of God interacting, some key events or people, or what have you got? Everybody's talking like mad a moment ago. Go on.
Beryl was talking to me about that idea of spreading the love of God throughout her life, and it kept me thinking of that theme of Jesus.
Yes.
The relation where we had first of all the gospel to the Jews and then the gospel spreading to the whole world.
Yes. 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 So here we have good news for the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely key. And that was, it wasn't so encompassing before, was it? No. Thank you, that's very important. God interacting with the whole world, every nation, not just one or two nations.
Stephen Dad, I think, had written down quite a lot of the same things.
Yes.
And I went through quite a lot of highs and then thought I need to look at the lows. So I've put it in four, and Joseph going to a big jump. Joseph, oh, God, there was a flood.
Yeah.
Joseph going to Egypt.
Yeah.
But then Moses.
Yeah. Yes.
And because of the CD I had, or something I'd listened to on YouTube, Rabbi Zacharias.
Yes.
Talking about the evil that one person can do. And he talked about Manasseh.
Yes.
In the Bible.
Yes.
And then he talked about the
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. There is, I mean, that's one of the enduring themes, isn't it, about sin and forgiveness. And this very sort of cyclical thing that happens in much of the Old Testament, where God calls people back to himself, then they repent, but then they just get back into their old ways again. So that's a recurring theme right the way through. But you see, immediately, I've got no space here. So what I have done is to put it all together with some significant things on this handout. So if you'd like to take a copy of this and pass it round. Now, there's so many ways in which you could follow things through. I mean, that's an interesting theme about sin and forgiveness and renewal and so on. That could be a theme that one could look at right the way through. And there's a number of themes. I mean, what I have taken this morning is kingdom. And the reason that I've taken kingdom is because of what we were hearing in the service, I think it was 3 weeks ago, and we were hearing about God's kingdom in relation to discipleship. And the trouble with giving out a sheet is the minute you do that, everybody looks at the sheet and nobody's listening to a word that I'm saying, which I quite understand. Well, we will look at the sheet step by step shortly. What I want us to look at is what's in bold at the top. So Davis, it was the one where people were invited to bring something to, that they used on their front line, like their Pilates mat or their hard hat or their coffee cup or something, to bring in something from your everyday life to commit to God. And as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we want Jesus to be involved in all of our everyday life. And he said, Jesus came to bring in the kingdom. And then he said, well, what's the kingdom? I mean, Jesus said the kingdom of God is among us, didn't he? Because he came to bring it in all its fullness. And he very helpfully quoted Paul Harcourt, who, the head of New Wine, with this. The kingdom is wherever God... I'm hopeless at writing on whiteboards. Is wherever God is king. Where God is king, where God is king, everything is restored to his loving intention. Where God is king, everything is restored to his loving intention. So because Jesus talked about the kingdom so much, it seemed helpful to me this morning that we should look at the whole big picture of the Bible in terms of the coming of the kingdom. And I'm indebted to this kingdom theme to Vaughan Roberts. Now, I've got several books here, any of which you can borrow, because I've got other copies. So I originally nicked this from a book by Vaughan Roberts called God's Big Picture, A Bible Overview. Since then, there is this excellent book by Andy Croft, along with Mike Pilavarci, called Bible Storylines. And they take several themes. I mean, they look not only at kingdom, they look at salvation. I've written down what they... Somewhere. Where are we? Could look in the book, couldn't I? They take salvation, covenant, presence, as well as kingdom. So there's quite a few ones that they follow through. So it doesn't have to be kingdom, and you can get interesting stuff depending on which theme you go for. This other book by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, is a really, really good book as well. It talks quite a bit about genre and what different types of literature are doing, how we can relate to them today, and so on. And then another book that I found recently by Steve Levy called Bible Overview. So that's just four books, and you're welcome to borrow any of those to have a look at these ideas. So, looking at kingdom, what I've said here at the top is God's people, that the essence of the kingdom is God's people, because we've got God dwelling with, interested in interacting with people. It's his story and he's interacting with us. So it's about God's people in dwelling in God's place, accepting God's rule, enjoying God's blessing. And that's part of the process of being in the kingdom. So let's look at this in more detail. At the beginning, we've got, so the kingdom patterned, I've got the subject matter there on the left. There's some key passages that talk about that particular aspect. And then on the right, there's what is God doing here at this point? He's seeking to engage with his creation, and he's inviting people to partner with him. Now, some people have a difficult with partner business. You know, it sounds like a business partner, or, you know, partner of solicitor's firm or something. I think it's helpful to think of it like a dancing partner. So I'm just a useless dancer, but if I have somebody who, you know, ballroom or something, you've got somebody who really knows what they're doing, then they can lead the way, and you kind of try and walk in step with them. So that's really what this partnering image is about. God is looking for people to partner with him in what he is doing. And his original plan was for fruitfulness in the garden. Everything was made to be very good. And then underneath is a quote, something that is on God's heart. Almost all the quotes are from the passages given in the key passages column. He saw that it was very good. It was perfect. It was in line with his loving intention. Everything designed for human flourishing. And in the paradise of the garden, God is pictured as coming looking for the people in the cool of the day. I often think that if I'm pottering my garden and it's the cool of the day, and I think, you know, God is here calling me, wanting to engage with me about what my day's been like. Where are you? Genesis 3, verse 8. And of course, as humanity's done ever since, the people are hiding from him. He draws near, seeking to engage with him, wanting to walk in fellowship with men and women, wanting to restore everything to his loving intention. And that loving intention is rooted, notice, in relationship. So it shows us God seeking a people for himself that he longs to be with, that he created for them to walk alongside him, to partner with him. God wasn't just seeking a people for himself when he came in Jesus. From the very beginning, he's been seeking out those who will walk with him. So we move down, following the four we've mentioned, and I put there that the kingdom was spoiled, and we come on to Abraham, where God sets up a covenant with a human being. And God makes great promises. I will, he says to Abram, I will do all these amazing things that will result in God's people dwelling in God's place, accepting God's rule and enjoying God's present blessing, where he starts restoring things to his loving intention. It says in James chapter 2, verse 23, in a letter, New Testament letter, it says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. From the very beginning, God is relating to human beings. Moving on, we come to, we've heard about Joseph, we've heard about Moses, and here we have the Exodus, which is a huge turning point in the story. The message that Moses had for Pharaoh was, the Lord says, let my people go so they may worship me. I want a people for myself. And in the whole of that rescue, we find that that is God calling them out to be with him. The passage that I've picked there, the Exodus passage, isn't the call of Moses. It's actually the night when they leave, and it's the blood on the doorposts. And it's about the Passover. Because of the Passover, actually, I think if I'd done a timeline, I wanted to put the Passover on it. But now I've looked at all of that, not before I started thinking about these things, and now I think, actually, the Passover is absolutely key. You know, that's why Jesus had to die on the cross and blood had to be shed. You know, he couldn't have just been hanged. Blood had to be shed. So the Passover is really important because in the life, there is the blood is in the life. The life is in the blood, sorry, as it says in another place in the Bible. So that's absolutely really significant. And with the blood covering you, you get away from Egypt and the place of captivity to freedom in the Promised Land. So that's the Exodus. And then we move down to Deuteronomy, where they're given God's law in the wilderness. And this is a huge key part of God engaging with human beings. And the trouble is that these days we get, you know, it's too easy sometimes to get into the detail rather than the big picture. So we look at the Ten Commandments, we can look at the health food laws and things like that. But what is absolutely key is God's heart reaching out. Hear, O Israel, and love the Lord your God, the Shema as it's called. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This was what Jesus looked back on. He said this is the core part of the whole law and the prophets, love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And it's all there in Deuteronomy. Before, you know, Jesus was just reiterating what God had put there centuries before. And in the whole of that law, he's actually he's sharing who he is, that he's holy, etc. We haven't got time to look at the detail. And actually, it's also not, interestingly, it's not just about head knowledge. It's not about here are these rules to live by. It's not only about Sabbath worship and how you organise all of that. But actually, a lot of it is about putting it into practice in everyday life. Putting it into practice in everyday life is absolutely key. That's written through all the Jewish stuff. There's a complete, the mindset is every day is sacred. Every day is dedicated to God. Every day is a day to walk with the Lord, partnering with him. And so we have, through their wilderness wanderings, Exodus, Deuteronomy, entry into the promised land in the book of Joshua, again where there's this promise of the flourishing. And then we come to the area of the monarchy in Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and God is continuing to walk with people. Yet because they turn away from him, they refuse to partner with him. There's judgment in the exile, but still God longs for them. And so we find the salvation of Jesus and the new life that he brings prophesied centuries ahead of his coming. And there is always hope. Do you remember on the walk to Emmaus where Jesus, you know, they don't understand his disciples. Even the resurrection's happened, they just can't fathom it at all. And Luke says, Luke 24, verse 27, he says, I've got this, sorry, get the exact verse. He says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning with himself. So he just began with the prophets. He explained in all the scriptures how they pointed to himself. It wasn't just those odd prophetic things like Isaiah 53 that I've put down there, by his wounds we are healed, and Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. All of it is about him. You just have to have a bit of time, dig around a bit. If you want a book that really explains to you the theology of the Old Testament, how it meshes in with the new, I love this book because it's a book for theoretical learners, which I am, is the book of Hebrews. You have to know your stuff a bit to understand what they're talking about, but it's absolutely fascinating about how all the Old Testament law and prophets links in with the coming of Jesus. And the gospel writers were in no doubt that Jesus was the climax of this relational journey between God and his people. So John, for instance, if we take John's gospel, he makes a direct link back to the beginning of this big picture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in the New Testament, the Word shows up in person. God's living Word. Living out what it means to follow the written word in the way that God intended. Showing what it means to be a person of God, dwelling in God's place, accepting God's rule and enjoying God's blessing. Jesus came to establish the kingdom, to show us how true kingdom life works, which you'll find at the bottom of the table. We pass through Acts, which was the quote that we had from earlier, I will pour out my spirit on all people. God's just kind of moving outwards. And he perfectly restores all things at the end. And then, until then, we're kind of here in our time between the book of Acts and Revelation. We're a bit like in, you know, Acts the sequel. You know, disciples of Jesus called to be part of building God's kingdom today. Here's another overview, and this is a part of Matthew's gospel that you don't often hear read. And I'll just get into this. I hope you're going to be able to hear it, because it's this is David Suchet reading the Gospel of Matthew. And you can follow it through in the Bible if you want, I just think it's helpful to listen to his voice reading Matthew chapter 1. And we've just listened to John's big picture in John 1. Here is Matthew's in Matthew chapter 1.
The Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David. Generations in all, from Abraham to David, to the exile to Babylon, and 14.